would like to turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, looking at our approach to all Bible reading and studying and searching of the Scriptures. Again, approach is not only the preliminary steps that we take, it's also the spirit that we must maintain while reading and studying the Word of God. We've seen five ways that we are to approach God's Word. One, and these aren't in order of importance, but there has to be persuasion and conviction that it is the Word of God. Has to be a preparation of heart to receive the Word of God, for that's the reason that we're to read it, is that we ourselves personally would receive it. So there has to be a preparation of heart to receive what we're about to read. And then as we read, we need to continue to keep our heart in a condition to receive. Has to be reverence and awe. And again, that pretty much goes along with persuasion and conviction that it is the Word of God. If we are absolutely convinced that it is the Word of God, we will automatically reverence it and have a sense of awe. And that, of course, will cause us to see the necessity of preparing hearts. Then we need to approach it with submission, which goes along with preparing our hearts to receive it. We have to be willing to submit to whatever God's Word says. It's not for us to interject our ideas or our thoughts. It is our responsibility to submit to what it says. And then we saw last week we're to approach it, of course, with a very serious, and all these things we've mentioned so far show a seriousness. We have to be very serious when we approach the Word of God. That leads us to number six, which is a dependence upon the Holy Spirit. As we read, search, and study, we have to depend upon the Spirit of God. Notice in Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9, "For my thoughts," this is God speaking, "are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord." In other words, God and man have different way of doing things. God and man have a different way of viewing things, thinking about things. "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways." That's talking about superior. "And my thoughts than your thoughts." The Bible, of course, is the Word of God. It is basically a dictation from God. Being the Word of God, it is beyond the natural mind of man. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, again, God's thoughts, our thoughts, two completely different things. Now, as we grow in the Lord, we, of course, our thoughts should be becoming more conformed to the Lord's thoughts. But the point here is that the Bible is above, way beyond the natural mind of man. You know, people will make comments quite often. They'll say, I don't understand why they don't see that in the Word of God. They're fairly intelligent people. That doesn't have anything to do with anything. It's not a matter of intelligence. The Word of God is beyond the natural man. It is beyond him. It is beyond his way of thinking. The ability to understand, the ability to grasp, is not dependent upon human intelligence. Again, people make the comment all the time, and it goes contrary to our whole theological system. Well, they don't understand. They're not at that age to understand. I've got news for you. There's no magic age to understand. It has nothing to do with human intelligence. It's not dependent upon modern translations. Again, there's more translations today than there's ever been. And people are more ignorant than they've ever been. So it has nothing to do with modern translations, that is, as far as understanding the Word of God. It's not dependent upon the commentaries of man. Again, we've said this many times, I'm not opposed to commentaries. I've got a lot of them. I make it a practice not to go to a commentary to find out what a verse means. I let the Lord show me what it means. And I might read a commentary after that to see if he showed them the same thing. But don't go to commentaries to find out what a verse means. The best person to go to find out what a verse means is the author. That, of course, being the Lord. So, to understand the Word of God, one must have the Holy Spirit as their teacher. Now, Brother Hancock, every time he preached, and probably still does, he would say, right before he'd start to preach, let the Holy Spirit be our teacher. And that's true. Because we won't get it if he isn't. And to understand it, the Holy Spirit has to be our teacher. John chapter 14, and that's why we need to approach the Word of God depending upon the Holy Spirit to be our teacher. What happens a lot of times, and Brother Randy Graber and I talk about this quite often, a lot of people in our fellowship have put themselves in a box when it comes to the Word of God. And they are scared to death to even get to the edges of that box. The problem with that is, our box can be the creation of our own minds. And so that's very, very dangerous. What we need to do, we don't need to fit the Bible into our theological beliefs. We need to adjust our theological beliefs to the Bible. So we can't decide what we believe and then that's our box and we're not going to go out of that box. We just do away with the box and just ask the Holy Spirit to teach us. In John 14 and verse 26, again, Jesus is speaking to his church. He says, "The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things." And here's how he will do it. He will bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. He will teach you. He will do so by bringing to remembrance the teaching of Christ. So what the Holy Spirit teaches never runs contrary to who Christ is. If you even get close to believing something that's contrary to who Christ is, you're headed in the wrong direction. And that's a very dangerous direction to go in. So the Holy Spirit takes the things of Christ. Notice also in John 16, verse 12 through verse 15. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. You know, the Lord, that's true in all of our lives. There are spiritual truths that you and I will never have revealed to us. And a lot of people don't believe that, but it's the truth. There are spiritual truths that will not be revealed to us. Secret things belong to the Lord, and we need to keep them there. But we see that there are many things that we're not able to bear. There are truths that at the time, for whatever reason, we may not be able to handle. The Lord knows that. Verse 13, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, and he is the Spirit of truth, he never leads to error, is come, he, the Spirit of truth, will guide you into all truth. As long as you follow the Spirit of God, you are going to be headed in the direction of truth. That is true when we read the Bible. As long as we are depending on the Spirit of God, he is going to lead us in the direction of truth. He's not going to show us everything, but he's leading us in the direction of truth. A lot of times people start to get a little twisted in their mind, and you got to tell them, you need to get back in the right road. You're going down the wrong road here concerning the Scriptures. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you, reveal to you things to come. He shall glorify me. Truth always does. Truth always glorifies God. Any doctrine that takes away from who God is, from who Christ is, from whom the Holy Spirit is error. Always glorifies God. Always. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and he shall show it, that is, reveal it, unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine what is in accord with God, and show it, reveal it, unto you. So a few different times, he will show it unto you. The Holy Spirit must be our teacher. Now, he will guide us into truth. He not only guides us to truth, he guides us into truth. Then notice, in light of that, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and again, a lot of people say they believe this in their theological statements, but when it comes down to it, they don't. But 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 through verse 11. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us. That it has not, in other words, it has not entered into the heart of man naturally, but God has revealed them unto us. And how does he do this? By his Spirit. That's exactly what Jesus was talking about back in John 14 and 15. For the Spirit searcheth all things. It's almost funny when someone says, I have searched everything there is on this topic. No, you haven't. You haven't even begun. Because his thoughts are far, far, far above your thoughts. The Spirit of God searcheth all things. Yea, the deep things of God. The things of God are so deep that you and I will never get to the depth of them. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of a man, which is in him? Even so, The things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Again, he's telling us that the Holy Spirit knows these truths, and he is the one who reveals them to us. Then notice verse 13 and 14. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. You compare Scripture with Scripture. You compare apples to apples. Spiritual things with spiritual. A lot of people in their so-called interpretation of Scripture compares apples with oranges. They compare spiritual with physical. That's a mistake. We are to compare spiritual things with spiritual things. Again, the best commentary on Scripture is Scripture. Compare Scripture with Scripture. Principles are taught. Principles are there's a foundation of principles in the Word of God. And the Word of God never runs contrary to those principles. Verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. The natural man does not receive what the Spirit of God teaches, for they are foolishness unto him. For they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them. Not only does he not receive them, not only are they foolishness to him, he cannot know them. Because they are spiritually discerned. They are spiritually unable. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things. He himself is judged of no man. So again, the Spirit of God is our teacher. So when we approach the Word of God, we must depend upon the Spirit of God. To understand, and again, we're not going to fully understand any truth. And if you ever get to the point where you think you have the full grasp of a certain truth, you haven't dug deep enough yet. Because you'll never fully understand any doctrine. We can talk about God's sovereignty, and we can study the sovereignty of God, but who fully understands the sovereignty of God? Nobody. Nobody. Only the Spirit of God, and He doesn't reveal everything. He reveals what we need to know. So to understand, to grasp the Word of God, divine enablement is required. The function of the Holy Spirit is not to communicate new truth. Again, what He reveals centers around Christ, centers around who God is, centers around what Scripture teaches, centers around truth. So He does not, it's not His function to communicate new truth. It is His function to illuminate our minds and our hearts to the truth that is here. It is His function to clarify what is revealed in the Scripture. So the Holy Spirit is the revealer. God, He is the revealer, which make of the revelation of God's Word. So therefore, the Bible is to be approached realizing I am dependent upon the Spirit of God. I am dependent upon the Spirit of God. If I am going to understand, the Spirit of God must reveal to me. Therefore, we are to approach the Word of God with a prayer that the Spirit of God would indeed be our teacher, that He would show us what God's Word says. Notice in Psalm 119, and verse 18. Open thou mine eyes. Notice it doesn't say that I may see wondrous things out of thy law. It goes much further than that. That I may behold. That is, ponder, meditate upon. That I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. He does not open our eyes that we may add to His law. He opens our eyes that we might behold wondrous things out of thy law. Again, all our study of the Bible should be an exegesis. That is, it is a drawing out from. It's not a putting into. It's always a drawing out from. It's not inserting our ideas, our philosophies, our doctrine. It is a drawing out from. And again, the Lord must open our eyes to do that. Verse 27. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts. God's word is His precepts. So shall I talk of thy wondrous works. So we see, open my eyes, make me to understand. Verse 34, give me understanding. Give me understanding. Need to pray that God would enable us to comprehend what we're reading, comprehend what we are studying. Verse 73, he again prays, give me understanding that I may learn. In other words, and it's true it all the time, unless we understand, we can't learn. So we see, give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. Verse 125. Again he prays, give me understanding that I may know. Give me understanding that I may learn. And when we learn something, we know it. Give me understanding that I may know thy testimonies. Verse 144. Trouble and anguish, verse 144, the righteousness of thy testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding. So we see over and over the psalmist is praying, open my eyes, cause me to behold, give me understanding of what you've opened my eyes to, what you've caused me to behold, give me understanding. In verse 144 or 169. Verse 169. Again, he says, give me understanding. Give me understanding. So we are to approach the Word of God. That's our preliminary steps, depending on the Spirit of God. As we read the Word of God, we are to maintain that attitude, I am dependent upon the Spirit of God. You come to a verse, and the verse, or you come to a statement, and the statement or the verse is somewhat mystifying, and you do not understand what it is saying. So you get on the phone, you call somebody, and you ask them, what do you think? Or you go and you grab a book, and you try to find out. The best thing to do is to stop and just pray. Lord, show me what this verse means. And the Lord may say to you, now's not the time. You're not able to bear it now. Now's not the time for you. And if that's the case, you have to be content with that. And you go on. But the first thing you ought to do is, Lord, if it would please you, show me what that means. And He may do so over a course of a year. He may do so immediately. But again, that's, people get impatient. They get impatient with the Spirit's showing us Scripture. The Lord knows what we need to know. The Lord knows when we need to know it. And we need to depend on Him. So the author of the book is willing to act as interpreter. So we ought to depend upon Him. Depend upon Him to cause, and again, interpretation is not determining what a verse means. God's already determined what it means. Interpretation is discovering what it means. And the Holy Spirit is the one who causes us to discover what it means. Let's look to the Lord in word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we again thank You, Lord, for Your word. Lord, we do thank You that we have the Holy Spirit to reveal truth to us, and that You've promised us, Lord, that He would do so, and we just pray that You would help us to always depend upon You to show us what Your word means. And Lord, we pray that You would just always cause us to approach Your word with the right heart, right spirit. We pray, Lord, as we worship You today, that You'd help us. Lord, just cause us to worship You in spirit and truth. Cause us, Lord, to bring honor to Your name. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.